A show of support in a time of war. The US secretaries of state and defense in the Ukrainian capital to meet President Volodymyr Zelensky.
Nice to see you here.
This was the first high-level visit by US officials since Russian forces invaded.
What you've done in repelling the Russians in the Battle of Kyiv was extraordinary and inspiring, quite frankly, to the rest of the world.
We've gotten used to seeing you on video around the world, but it's great. It's good to see you in person.
During a three-hour meeting, the pair promised to step up U.S. military aid, including sending more advanced weapons.
We will continue to do everything possible to ensure that you're successful.
Ukraine's president has accused allies of being too slow to help, saying they shared responsibility for the war's casualties. But on Sunday, he said he was grateful for U.S. support in what he called an important moment for his country.
The priority of this meeting is weaponry, support from the United States and our partners in Europe. It's all about the strength of our army. And the second issue is the sanctions against the Russian Federation because of the full-scale terror the Russians are waging in our country.
While Russia has failed to capture any major city since the invasion started on February 24th, it has caused widespread devastation. Cities in the east and south are facing daily bombardment in what President Volodymyr Zelensky's called the battle for Donbass. The U.S. says it wants to see Russia weakened so that it can never do anything like this again.
The bottom line is this. We don't know how the rest of this war will unfold, but we do know that a sovereign, independent Ukraine will be around a lot longer than Vladimir Putin's on the scene. In terms of Russia's war aims, Russia has already failed, and Ukraine has already succeeded.
Speaking in Poland after their meeting, the secretaries outlined what will be included in the latest $700 million package to Ukraine and neighboring countries.
So they need long-range fires. You've heard them express a need for tanks. We believe that they can win if they have the right equipment, the right support.
The visit comes just days before the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is due to travel to Moscow, then Kyiv, for meetings with leaders from both sides. Secretary Blinken says Guterres will be carrying a strong and clear message to the Russian president that he needs to end this war now. Alexia O'Brien, Al Jazeera.
Live to Mike Hanna in Washington, D.C. Mike, a strong message of solidarity from the Biden administration there and the U.S. resuming its diplomatic presence in Ukraine.
Yes, very strong developments in terms of U.S. support for Ukraine. Its most senior cabinet officials being sent there and the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense meeting there with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Certainly, this is a strong signal from the United States. And one must note, too, that it has now announced a new ambassador to Ukraine. Bridget Brink is the current ambassador to Slovakia. She is a professional diplomat. This is very important. And also, she is extremely experienced within the region, and she would be well known by the U.S.'s European allies, which would be of great comfort to them, having a diplomat in place who they are well aware of and who they know, and who is not a political appointment, who is a career State Department officer. So all of these factors together, very important in terms of the U.S. Presence in Ukraine, saying as well that it's sending diplomats back in the coming week, those diplomats having been brought out at the beginning of the war. And also significantly, the U.S. is going to resume training of Ukrainian military on what it says are undisclosed weapon systems. So all of these factors together show an uptick in the Biden administration's involvement in that war in Ukraine.
Mike Hanna in Washington, D.C., thank you very much for that. Let's go now live to Charlie Stratford, who joins us from the front line in eastern Ukraine. You're near the city of Slovyansk, which is close to the front line, I understand. Tell us about what's been happening.
Yeah, we're not actually on the front line here, but then front lines seem to be moving so rapidly some days in this area of eastern Ukraine. We're actually north of Slovyansk, which is one of the biggest cities that is still under full Ukrainian government military control, adjacent to the city of Kramatorsk as well, a very large urban area. The road behind me leads up to a town called Izium, which the Russian military have controlled for a number of weeks. They are trying to push down this road to basically surround Slavyansk, which, as I say, is in that direction. Earlier today, this morning, we were close to a town called Liman, which is to my left, which is to the east of here. And we know there's a lot of heavy fighting going on in that town. We were speaking to civilians that were being evacuated out of it, volunteers, Ukrainian volunteers going in and picking them up, them describing terrifying scenes as we've been reporting for weeks now, as these civilians try and evacuate areas, as seemingly the Russians make a push towards Slavyansk. We also saw ambulances coming out. We saw one wounded Ukrainian soldiers. Obviously, the Ukrainian military very sensitive about showing that sort of information, despite obviously admitting that it is a war, but obviously concerned about the identities of injured military personnel. We also understand that there is a push to the west of here, also towards Slavyansk. We understand that the Russian military are hitting targets there. In the last few minutes, from where I'm standing, we've seen missiles being launched towards what can only be described, or we understand would be targets in the east, Russian positions from in front of me and just to the left here as well. We heard a lot of incoming and outgoing shelling early in the morning. The situation has calmed down in the last couple of hours in this area. But as I say, the Ukrainian military are claiming that Russian forces trying to push towards Slavyansk have so far failed in that endeavour. But this is, one could only really describe it potentially as being the quiet before the storm. The streets of Slavyansk are pretty much empty. I can still hear a siren being an alarm in the distance. Most of the civilians of Slavyansk have left. And the reason why this area is so important, as I say, is because it is one of the largest urban areas still under Ukrainian control. Russian forces pushing in from the northeast, the north and the northwest, as well as certain areas of the east. The Ukrainian military is saying that there is ongoing fighting in various villages to the east of here also. With respect to what's going on in Mariupol, of course, that city that has seen such heavy fighting as, according to some reports, and we've seen the pictures as the world has, a city that has pretty much been flattened. The Ukrainian Deputy Prime Minister saying there is as yet still no agreement. The Russians are still, she's saying, the Russians still refusing to agree on setting up some sort of humanitarian corridor to get out what we understand are around 1,000 civilians trapped under that steelworks, that giant, great Soviet-built industrial plant where still, there are Ukrainian fighters, Ukrainian military in there. We understand that obviously the civilians haven't left and there is still fighting to try, as the Russians try and clear that area of those Ukrainian fighters and Ukrainian military. So, of course, great concern there still for those civilians trapped in Mariupol. But as I say, there are still a lot of civilians trapped in towns around this area, as it seems the Russian military forces try and push towards Slavyansk.
All right, Charlie, thank you very much for that update. Charles Stratford in Slavyansk there. Now to Moscow, where Russian President Vladimir Putin has been speaking in the last few hours. He was addressing a meeting of the General Prosecutor's Office. Let's bring in Dorsa Jabari in Moscow for us. The president, we heard, a very defiant message from Vladimir Putin.
Yes, certainly. The Russian president was discussing the upcoming year and the agenda and the main issues that his country's general prosecutor's office will have to focus on. According to Vladimir Putin, the members of this office have to remain vigilant and united because he believes that there is a full-scale campaign being waged against his country's media as well as the military. The president saying that there is a lot of misinformation and provocations against the Russian military. So it is the job of the General Prosecutor's Office to prevent the spread of fake information online and from foreign media. Vladimir Putin seemingly very directly targeting the foreign media, saying that they are extremists that are being their views being presented in the foreign media, and he advised his General Prosecutor's Office to remain vigilant. He also shared some information about an operation that the FSB managed to prevent from taking place. According to the president, the Federal Security Services thwarted an attempt on the life of a very prominent state TV presenter, Vladimir Solovyov, who is one of the most well-known figures in this country. He has a daily program here in the evenings on state TV, and he is known to be very much a strong supporter of Vladimir Putin. And according to the president, there was a number of arrests made by the security services who were part of a neo-Nazi group, as they called them, and they have been detained with the intention of trying to kill this state TV presenter. This was another example by Vladimir Putin of how his country has been under attack from the West, and specifically the United States. He says he believes that the CIA had a hand in this as well. He also talked about the other various forms of the sabotage attempts by Western countries on Russian society. Let's listen to some of what he had to say.
The other task is coming forward to break Russia from within, but they can't do it because our society is showing its unity and support our armed forces and our efforts to maintain the security of Russia and the citizens of Donbass.
All right, Dorsa, we heard from Charlie just a moment ago about the situation in Mariupol and those humanitarian corridors. The Ukrainians saying that there are still no humanitarian corridors open in Mariupol. What is Russia saying about these?
Well, the Russian Defense Ministry has been announcing these so-called ceasefires, short-term as they are, in Mariupol to allow the civilians to evacuate that steel plant and also allow, give an opportunity to those Ukrainian fighters that are holed up in there to surrender. This is something that has been ongoing for the past 10 days or so, but every opportunity that is announced by the Russians seemingly does not work out. The Ukrainian side accusing Russia that they're not actually establishing any kind of ceasefire, that the attacks continue during that time. Also, there have been accusations that the civilians allowed to leave any areas during these ceasefires are forced to go into areas in Russia. And that is something, of course, that the civilians would not agree to in general. But the Russian Defense Ministry is saying that they have, on a regular basis, provided these ceasefires, and it is the Ukrainian side that is not upholding their end of the deal. They don't want to actually evacuate the civilians. They're being used by the Ukrainian fighters that are still in there in an attempt to prevent the Russians from storming this facility. Of course, the Russian president had ordered on Thursday that no Russian troops enter this facility, and just to seal it up and not allow anybody to go in or out in an attempt to basically force whatever fighters are left in there to surrender at any point. There is a strong sense that this is now yet another attempt by the Russian Defense Ministry to show the international community that they are trying to establish humanitarian corridors. Of course, we have the Secretary General of the United Nations coming to Moscow on Tuesday, and certainly this will be an example of how the Russians will show that they are trying to establish some kind of a ceasefire to allow those civilians to leave. But we'll have to wait and see what the Secretary General will have to say.
Indeed, we will follow that visit with you, of course. Sosha Zabari, live for us there in Moscow. And the International Criminal Chief Prosecutor has announced that it will participate in a joint EU investigation team that is looking into allegations of international crimes in Ukraine.